Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And a good Wednesday to you. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. All right, coming up on the show today, more on this European Super League, but more in the context of what we here in the United States would think of as a Super League. There's a lot of talk about whether or not college football could do something similar. Of all the business models, it's probably more likely that college football could go that direction. Would they, and what would be the ramifications? We'll discuss that. I'm a big picture guy. I've said that pretty much since day one. To a Monday night game in which Golden State beats Philadelphia in the NBA is not significant to me unless I see something that leads to a larger some sort, because I'm not a fan of either team, but to a larger issue. Steph Curry scoring 49, 20 in the fourth quarter and making Golden State a really interesting team in this sort of play-in atmosphere towards the bottom end of the conference standings is the larger issue of that game. So therefore, there comes some relevance to it. I'm not the biggest soccer fan in the world, but what I saw in this story of the Super League made me start wondering how much does money and greed kind of play into all these sports that we have in this country and whether or not the idea would work. It doesn't seem to work at the professional level yet, but in college football especially, the framework is there to do something similar, and we'll discuss that coming up. Plus, the Brooklyn Nets cannot stay healthy at all. They suffered a major blow in their Eastern Conference goals with the injury to James Harden. We'll tell you the ramifications of that and what kind of season he's been having for Brooklyn. And again, in an East that Philadelphia is good, you got Milwaukee when Giannis is healthy. You've got the Brooklyn Nets team that had built this super team, and we haven't really seen it come together. Plus, there's an idea in golf that the PGA Tour is starting to pay some extra money or going to start paying some extra money to guys who move the needle. Man, why don't other sports do this? We'll explain why they don't and maybe why they should coming up on this show. But coming up next, college football and its business model is ripe for something like we've seen in this European Super League idea. But would it actually work? We'll discuss why people look at conferences a lot differently in 2021 than they did, let's say, 15 years ago. That's coming up next as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, trade up any non-contact thermometer for a $5 rebate towards an Exergen purchase at any retailer. Accuracy matters more than ever when taking temperature, and published research shows non-contact models miss 5 out of 6 fevers. Upgrade to Exergen, the only home forehead thermometer proven accurate by published peer-reviewed clinical studies. Details at Exergen.com. So as I said at the top, listen, I get... love issues where I can learn more about it. I'm a big picture guy. This European Super League story where these teams and these fan bases were screaming at the top of their lungs that they didn't want their teams to be put. And I saw more and more articles about this. Nancy Armour's got a column at USA Today talking about Stan Kroenke, John Henry should be ashamed of themselves for this greedy idea. But it does lead to the question here in the United States, which is, could something like that be implemented in any one of our sports? Well, it is hard to see a team in Major League Baseball leave Major League Baseball for a period of time to play in some World Baseball Championship. They do. They had that a couple of years ago. In Arizona, the World Baseball Classic. They're not.
Don't they
do
still
that.
Have it, or is it?
I haven't seen it played in a while. Maybe.
Yeah. It was like an every 2 year type of deal.
Yeah. And the Los Angeles Lakers aren't going to not play in the NBA to play in some sort of global tournament. But we do have a certain sport in the United States that's sort of ripe for something like that within the boundaries of the United States, and that's college football. One of the things about college football is that there are really good teams that make a ton of money and are just programs enriched in sort of the sport and the culture. And then there are programs that aren't, that are in the same conferences as those schools, that sort of reap the benefits of those, of that school's performance. Right? If you are in the SEC, for example, I live in Nashville. Vanderbilt is a beautiful school. It is a wealthy school. It's one of the top academic institutions in the United States, if not the world. It stinks at football. It is so bad at football, it's an embarrassment. I was a season ticket holder for Vanderbilt for a few years. It's awful football. The only reason my wife and I were season ticket holders were to watch the other SEC teams come to play in Nashville because we like SEC football. And every other year, South Carolina and Florida would come to town. So it's a terrible football team. And yet, just recently, Vanderbilt announced a huge, close to $300 million upgrades in their athletic facilities. Now, don't get me wrong. Vanderbilt's a wealthy school. I mean, wealthy school. Costs like $70,000 a year to go there. Their alumni are very rich. It's named after one of the richest families in the history of the planet. However, that money is also generated from them just simply existing in the SEC and mostly existing in SEC football, even though they really don't deserve any sort of share of the pie other than just being sort of an opponent for teams to rack up a victory. I mean, they're terrible, and yet they get a big share of the SEC pie. Now, if you're Alabama, if you're Georgia, if you're Florida, and you know that this sport, the college football in the SEC, is gigantic because of your existence and your effort and your time and what your coaches and players are doing, yeah, there's got to be some resentment that smaller schools that don't do or put any effort into their program whatsoever are still cashing huge, gigantic checks. I mean, I got to think that if you are an Oklahoma booster, Kansas must drive you nuts, right? They're great basketball and they're good for the conference and hoops, but their football team stinks. So here is a sport where there isn't an equal level, all right? Like we don't see a Vanderbilt rise up and become an Alabama. That's not going to happen, right? They're just not that dedicated to making that. They might have a few good. When we were season ticket holders, James Franklin had them at least in a bowl game.
No, but we like to kid ourselves too. Like, you know what? Give it time.
Right.
Give it time, and Vanderbilt will be there.
It'll all come around, right?
Yeah.
And listen, look, Nick. You know, Alabama struggled before Nick Saban got there. There was a period of time where Alabama football wasn't good. But in the end, I mean, you Alabama still was a bigger brand of football, even in its days of struggling, than Vanderbilt football was ever going to be, right? And that's the key, right? Like Notre Dame right now is going. You know, had Brian Kelly's got the team going to the playoff, but Notre Dame, when it's not that great, is still one of the biggest brands in all of sports.
Still got NBC packages.
That's right. And they have no interest in being in a conference whatsoever, even though last year, just for logistical reasons because of the pandemic, they were with the ACC. Now, they're in the ACC for everything else but football, and they're not going to be in the ACC for football under normal operating conditions. They don't want to be. They want to do their own thing because doing your own thing is more profitable than being in a conference and sharing the wealth.
And that's the key. It's like, you know, they don't want to and they don't need to.
Right. They don't need to.
They don't need the conference to help a conference to help boost them up. They're good on their own.
Look at when Texas formed the Longhorn Network, right? I mean, it was like people in the Big 12 were like, you got to be kidding. With all that revenue, because they can. Right, they're huge and capitalize on the largeness of your imprint in the sporting world. So some people have been speculating, well, what if an Alabama, a Penn State, Ohio State, I mean, the list is huge, like it's like 12 teams, USC, all said, you know what, we'll play these conference games, sure, but we're going to do our own thing on the side here. Like, we're going to do our own thing and maybe form this other thing. So you guys can play SEC basketball all day long. That's fine. You can even play swimming and baseball and track and, you know, have fun. But as far as football concerns, you know what? We're not giving any more money to Vanderbilt. We're not giving any more money to South Carolina. We're not giving any more money to Kansas. We're not giving any more money to Rutgers. Sorry, we're doing our own thing. And we'll share the wealth on this Super League we're forming where every weekend is going to be a mega matchup. And we're going to get our own television deal. And that television network is going to be able to say, coming up on Saturday, Alabama heads to Happy Valley to take on Penn State. Ohio State battles USC. Texas and Michigan go at it. And think about Clemson and Georgia. Like, think about the every week games like that. And they're just, those 12 teams go, we're sharing the wealth. Like, we're enjoying the fruits of our labor. And we're not handing it out to a school that couldn't care less of whether or not they have 3 wins, 4 wins, or, you know, 5 wins. You know, going to the Music City Bowl is not the goal here in Tuscaloosa. You could see that happening. You could see that mindset kicking in. Where, is it greedy? Yeah. But is it also some sort of a American ideal that we're very individualistic and we like to kind of reap our own rewards? I mean, don't get me wrong. We have charity and we like to help out, but we have a very individualistic mindset in this country. We always have. You know, you make your way. You forge ahead. You take the risks. You take the gamble. You become wealthy. You reap the rewards. And being part of a collective and sharing that success just doesn't sit well with us. It's not something that we're kind of, our mindset is doesn't wrap itself around that. The socialistic ideals. And in these conference settings, that's exactly what happens, right? The television network, the television money that is gained on the backs of the major programs, not the minor programs, the major programs are given to the Rutgers and the Vanderbilts of the world. They get an equal share of that television revenue. When the SEC network divvies up the money, they all get the same. And we know when the SEC network piles up its revenue from football, it's really not equal, right? It's really not. But they have to because they're all part of the member institutions. So again, it's just interesting to see this idea in Europe starting to fall apart now. Fans have been so vocal about this. I got to be honest with you. Again, I'm trying to follow this story as an amateur, as a guy who is like taking it in with new information. It was mind-boggling, the fans' reaction to this, and I got to give them some credit. I mean, these teams are pulling out of this thing. Good for them.
I mean, it was quick.
It was really quick. Didn't this launch on Sunday night?
Yes.
This idea was released out on Sunday night,
and then by Tuesday it was gone.
Tuesday it's dead. They're like, no, we're not. No.
I mean, here we are Wednesday morning. Atletico Madrid dropped out about 45 minutes ago, and it's, you know, there's only 4 teams left in the original 12 that they announced.
That means it's over.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a matter of time before the other 4 go, yeah, you know what, second thought, not a good
idea. Whose idea was this? Was it a collective idea, or did one individual
I think it's been an idea growing because, you know, soccer fans, I mean, just like us, we want to see the top schools play against each other.
Right.
You know, we would love to see Alabama play against Notre Dame or Alabama play against Ohio State year in and year out. And that's kind of where the birth of this is, because there's a season-long tournament called Champions League. And you get to see the top clubs play against each other, but you really only get to see that once we get to the quarterfinals of this tournament.
Yeah,
there's exactly. A group stage that they play, and they, you know, they play home and away games all throughout. And you have that, but then you don't really get the good soccer that you're craving until you get to the quarterfinals. This idea was like, well, hey, why don't we create a league where we take the top clubs from each of the countries, from each of the leagues around Europe, and we just have them play against each other, and that's it. You know, so you get that Manchester United versus Real Madrid or Chelsea versus Barcelona week in and week out.
And that's where people are thinking about college football in a similar idea,
yeah.
Right? Sure, Alabama may schedule USC to kick off the season like they did a couple of years ago,
right?
In Arlington, Texas, or the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, or a place like that. But in the end, right, it's a non-conference game. What really matters is but what if Alabama and USC was part of a conference standing, like part of a system where that game had a direct impact on how the season was going to play out?
Yeah, I mean,
right?
You figure like what, you know, say a 10-game schedule, right, for Alabama. We'll just throw that number out there. Say 5 of the games are conference games. The other 5 are Super League games.
Right.
And, you know, they're sprinkled throughout. It's not like where, you know, Alabama right now will front load their schedule against the hard opponents and then, you know, do the conference schedule through October, November, and, you know, finish it all out. This would be, hey, we're going to play against USC come November.
But also, wouldn't it be at the end of the season if Alabama then said, okay, we're playing for the college football national championship with this group, but then we've got our Super League playoffs on this other side.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, we're like okay, we'll go to the SEC championship, and at the end of the season, you put us in our playoff. But we're also doing this Super League thing because 12 of us decided to do this on the side while you guys were doing this other thing.
Yeah, and it's generating billions of dollars for us.
Right, exactly.
So we might pay more attention to the thing that's generating billions of dollars instead of hundreds of millions.
Yeah, and we're going to build a stadium that holds 350,000 people comfortably.
Exactly. But not allow our conference games to be held there.
No, exactly. Andy the Destroyer Ruiz Jr. versus Chris the Nightmare Areola, arguably the two best Mexican heavyweights in boxing history, squaring off Saturday, May 1st in the Fox Sports pay-per-view main event. This is an all-Mexican boxing extravaganza with three pay-per-view undercard matchups, feeding exciting all-action toss-up fights as the pay-per-view begins at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. It's priced at $49.99. Buy it on pay-per-view at foxsports.com/PPV and watch on any screen. That's Saturday, May 1st. All right, coming up next, Brooklyn has taken a hit in the NBA as James Harden is out indefinitely. What does it mean for the Nets? What did he mean to the Nets? Coming up next, and we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for their spring break deals on lawn and garden batteries, tools, brake kits, and more. Kick off the season right with fresh batteries for your lawn and garden gear. For a limited time, purchase any Superstart lawn and garden battery. Get a $10 gift card after mail-in rebate. Don't miss out on the savings. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I love spring. I love when the grass starts to get really green. But we just got a freeze last night.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, what spring are you talking about?
I feel like we just made so much progress in getting grass green. It was 75 yesterday, beautiful. And then on the weather, the lovely lady on my television was like, it's going to be down to the 30s and freezing temperatures coming in. And if you wake up a little early, you might see a couple of snow flurries here in the Nashville area. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. What?
Yeah.
It's April 21st. I didn't move down here to get snow flurries in April.
I'm looking at, you know,
crazy.
People are posting pictures of snow in their yard. I'm not even sure where this one guy is from.
They're talking about six inches of snow in upstate New York.
This guy is from Kentucky. We've had him on our show before, Josh Edwards, and posted a picture of his backyard, just his barbecue grill covered in snow.
I can't believe it. I have a little herb garden in my backyard. My wife's like, you go to cover that up. It's going to be frost tonight. I said, oh, no, really? And then I totally forgot. So all my herbs are probably dead.
Probably dead.
Yep. Oh, well.
No, I don't
have a green thumb anyway. I was just giving something a try.
I dressed like I should at this time of the year, stepped outside, and was like, wow.
Wow.
What happened here?
I know.
I'm going to go back inside, grab my sweatshirt.
So James Harden suffered a hamstring injury. He's now out indefinitely. I love that term because think about this. In 2021... we should have a pretty good handle on the comeback time for a lot of injuries. We usually go, hey, this is 3 weeks. This should be 10 days. This is 4 to 6 weeks. Usually we give a timetable. Heck, Tommy John surgery, we give a timetable.
Yeah.
When you have an injury where the doctors and medical trainers go, I don't know, whenever. I have no idea. Indefinitely. That doesn't sound good.
The human body heals in different ways, Tony.
Could be 4 days. Could be the rest of the season. No idea.
It reminds me of like when Kevin Garnett hurt himself. Or not Kevin Garnett. Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Hurt himself. And it's like, yeah, we don't really know.
Yeah, that was during the playoffs, remember?
During the playoffs.
That was the funniest part. That was the 2019 playoffs where every night was the possibility of him coming back, and he didn't come back until the finals.
Yep.
Like every round was like, he could play tonight.
Remember, he came back, and what did he do?
Right, got injured again.
Yeah, injured again, popped his Achilles.
Exactly. But you're right. Every night was he could be active tonight.
He could be active tonight.
Sure, why not?
He may not be active at all. We don't know.
Every game, even leading up to game six, could Durant play? And deep down, you're like, you look back on it, you're like, how in the world did we just fall for it every single night?
Yeah.
Until they finally went, yeah, okay.
I mean, I get that the doctors don't want to commit to anything because
sure,
then, you know, they
got
to hold their. You said you'd be back in 4 weeks. It's been six.
Exactly.
I get that part. But yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. How long does it take for a hamstring to heal?
Right. True.
If he pulled his hamstring, I know this about hamstrings, that if you pull it once, you can easily pull it again throughout the rest of your life.
That's exactly right.
And so, by that rationale, Harden will never be ready.
It's like why WebMD is just a failure, because it has to say, they have to tell you you could die for everything that you ring. I have ringing in the ear.
No, you're dead in 2 weeks.
Ringing in the ear is this, but you could also die from this.
Yeah.
Because they have to cover their bases, right? Because they don't need a lawsuit from somebody saying, you said that this is curable within 2 to 3 weeks, and now my person is gone forever.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it could be as simple as, you know, you have earwax buildup, or, you know, that tumor that you keep ignoring is growing and growing on your eardrum.
Exactly. That's why you just can't go to it.
That's why I forbid my wife to go on WebMD.
No, I'm with you on that. Don't do it. Kids,
do I have this? No. They're fine.
No.
You sure I don't have this? I'm pretty sure.
I'm not kidding. If you're one of them worry parents, like I tell my wife, don't you dare, because she'll have my kids flying to the Mayo Clinic because they have like a sniffle. She'll be like, we're going to Minnesota for the Mayo Clinic to get this checked out. Says here on WebMD they might have a rare house disease
that one in 7 billion people contract, and you're the lucky one.
Four people in the history of mankind have gotten this one thing, and Mike, our kid probably has it thanks to this website.
Yep, your lottery chances are better than getting this disease, but you got it.
No, but we got it, right. That's James Harden's hamstring. Indefinitely. Have no idea when he's coming back. This is an interesting thing, because with Kevin Durant being hurt as well, I read one article where they said the Nets are in survival mode. I wouldn't go that far. I mean, they're still in second place but without Durant and Harden, they just have Kyrie. And that's a beatable basketball team. But Harden was having an MVP season for Brooklyn.
And on top of that, do you really have Kyrie?
I think he
might still have some PTO left.
Yeah, you're probably right. He probably might disappear for a couple games. Harden was averaging over 25 points per game, 11 assists. And when Brooklyn got him, they were about a 500 team, right? They were kind of like looking for a little spark. They were trying to create this team anyway. That was the buzz. Since his arrival in Brooklyn, they were 27-7. Now, again, indefinitely could mean a week from now, 2 weeks from now, and just maybe right before the playoffs, a very healthy and well-rested James Harden torches every team in the Eastern Conference. But right now, I don't know. Right now, we have no idea. So that was the big story. It's how many games have these three guys played this season together?
Have they
seen this machine all at once?
Have they done it?
Zero, one, two.
I mean, it's
Have we have any of them?
It's got to be on one hand.
Feels like one is always out for whatever reason. Whether Durant's hurt, now Harden's hurt, whether Kyrie shows up, doesn't show up. I mean, as far as the three of them, whether you hated the decision or not, you were at least fascinated with what the Heat were going to do with the three guys, right? With Dwayne Wade and LeBron James and Chris Bosh. You're just feeling like, all right, when Durant went to Golden State, the same kind of thing. You may have hated the idea that Durant was like, I'm going to win a title with a team that's already won a title or two. I'm just going to jump on that train. But at least when they all were together, you're like, well, what kind of force could they actually be? When this trade went down, have we ever gotten a feeling that what all three occasionally have looked like a consistency with what Brooklyn has been since these three have come together in January?
Well, I have the answer.
What is the answer?
Seven.
Seven times these three have played together. I knew it was less than 10. Crazy.
But I don't know the record in those seven.
The big indefinitely on James Harden. Good season, though. Good season. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
You're listening.
listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on Twitter. You can hit us up at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. All right, you got a big mess? Tub of Towels is the answer. Literally breaks the bond that holds dirt and grease on the surface to clean just about anything. They are large, 10 by 12 inches, heavy-duty cleaning wipes. They have over 30,000 five-star reviews for a reason. Grease, oil, tar, paint, permanent marker, food, drink stains, bird messes on your car, chalks, adhesive, decals, you name it. It cleans it. Tub of Towels made in the USA, easy on the hands, aloe vera, vitamin E, lanolin. So even though they're tough on dirt, gentle on the hands. Vapor Lock keeps those towels moist so they can use them time and time again. Use them for your car, your garage, inside on your appliances, your outdoor grill, walls, floors, tiles, fabric and carpet, you name it. Good for garden and lawn equipment when you need to clean that stuff up. Tub of Towels, get some at, you can get find them at a variety of places, including O'Reilly, AutoZone, and Advanced Auto, Napa, Pet Boys. Again, Tub of Towels. All right, so the PGA Tour has got a plan in place. Listen to this. You want to talk about a big picture thing? This is a big picture story. The PGA Tour wants to give bonus money to reward certain players who sort of move the needle for the sport. Now, as you know, one of the things about golf in the last 20, 25 years is that Tiger Woods has taken it to this stratospheric level of insane money, right? When I was a kid growing up, a golfer would win, I think I would look at tournaments like in the 80s, late 80s, and a golfer might win $180,000 to win a golf tournament. Now, look, obviously that money should increase over time, inflation, et cetera, cost of living, et cetera. But now tournaments are paying well over $1 million. The Masters dished out $2 million, and a lot of it is because Tiger Woods took the sport to the stratospheric level. So the tour is saying they've got a $40 million bonus plan that will pay players like Woods, Phil Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau, Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler, those guys money because they are impacting the sport more than anybody else, even though everybody else benefits from their existence, benefits from their popularity. Now, I keep thinking to myself, wow, how soon will this go into other sports of the individual nature? Like, for example, tennis. Why hasn't tennis done this for years? Why is Serena Williams forced to go to a tennis match, just not even a Grand Slam, just a regular tennis match, and just duke it out with everybody else for prize money? Like, why wouldn't the women's tennis tour go, Serena's getting a ton of money, Naomi Osaka's getting a ton of money extra, because without them, this thing isn't even on TV. Let's, you know, or even on the men's side. Like, for the most part, these individual sports, a lot of the reason people tune into them is not just because of the competition, is not just because of the sport in and of itself. Like, I just like watching professionals hit golf balls, or I just like professionals riding around in a racetrack, or I like professionals hitting tennis balls. They're tuning in to see individual people, right? When I was covering NASCAR in the early 90s, Jeff Gordon was on the rise. Now, there was a famous Sports Illustrated cover that talked about how hot NASCAR was. And it wasn't because of Dale Earnhardt. It was because of Jeff Gordon. Jeff Gordon was bringing a new element to the sport. His sort of Tom Cruise-like from Days of Thunder approach to the sport. He was a California kid, moved to Indiana, got into stock car racing as a young man, came into the sport. He was wild, brash, winning races, taking the thunder away from the standbys. He was disliked by the fans, but there was another group of fans that really liked him. And what happened to NASCAR was it was starting to grow so exponentially that everybody wanted a piece of the action. So cities and areas were putting in tracks. Chicagoland Speedway had a track, right? Kansas had a track. California got a big track. Las Vegas got a big track, right? And all of a sudden, places like North Wilkesboro that were like original NASCAR cup race places, sprint car places, were going nowhere. They had no place to go. They were being sold, and then they were told, you're not getting any big races. Rockingham was another one, two racetracks in North Carolina. It was moving away from its sort of southern roots. know, yeah, they would still race in California and Watkins Glen and places like that in Michigan. But now these tracks are being built. And a lot of it was because of the rise of Jeff Gordon. It's the same thing in golf, right? With Tiger Woods, all of a sudden, people started getting more interested in the sport. All of a sudden, the Ryder Cup blew up in popularity. The Ryder Cup was a big deal when I was younger, but it was exponentially bigger once Tiger Woods entered the fray. And Europe was winning, right? And so why wouldn't you pay these guys a little extra money, right? Instead of Phil Mickelson showing up to an average tour event like, I don't know, the St. Jude Memphis Classic and just competing for prize money. Yeah, if he is providing the tour with so much extra on-the-side revenue in terms of TV rights and ticket sales and whatnot to these events, yes. Yes. I mean, Ron and I were just talking about this off the break. It's a professional golfer's life. I mean, yes, it's hard work and you're doing repetition after repetition after repetition. But at the same time, when you've got it dialed in and you've made it and, you know you can play and you know you can be competitive, you show up at these places, shoot even par. You're going to get $50,000, right? I mean, you're on the bottom end of the money train, right? I mean, it's just you show up to these places, your wife has a good time, you get some gifts from some sponsors, they take you to ball games and the zoo and amusement parks on the side while you work on your craft. Your kids are taken care of. Your wife is taken care of. They roll out the red carpet. And at the end of the day, you play four rounds at one of the best facilities, best golf courses in the world under super conditions that would make the most private courses blush. And then you leave and you get at least a five-figure check if you make the cut. So for that reason, give the people who have made that happen a little bit more money. I wonder how much of the other sports that deal in this similar sort of way where there's it's an individual sport, but it's part of a collective, whether or not they will go down that road and do this a little bit more. I don't think it could work. Could it work in the NFL? Like, could the NFL actually cut a check to Patrick Mahomes on top of what the Chiefs are paying him to say, yeah, you know what? Ratings are through the roof and you're on national TV a lot.
Kind of like a bonus.
Here's your money. Yeah.
I don't know.
Like from the league, not from the Chiefs.
Yeah.
From the league. Like Roger Goodell and the New York office is going, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Donald. Let's see. And they just pick a bunch of players that are like, we've looked at all the metrics, whatever those metrics may be, whatever statistics that they have to sort of gauge fan interaction and fan interest. And we've determined that you guys are the top 10 players in this league in jersey sales and ratings and all this other stuff. We're giving you a piece of this pie that we've sort of put off to the side just for you. Like we're not giving it to Dak Prescott yet, but here's the pie that you all are going to share. Would that go over well with like the collective bargaining agreement? Would that go over well with the union?
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not, right?
Probably not.
But like, shouldn't Serena get more money like at a typical?
I mean,
women's tournament event.
Yeah.
I mean, shouldn't she? I went to a tennis tournament, a women's tennis match in Charleston, South Carolina, about 12 years ago, and Serena was in it, and I was so disappointed because she got eliminated in like the quarterfinals, and I didn't get to see her at all. But I remember the time that even afterwards that she was eliminated, the whole thing was about Serena. She was on all the billboards. She was in all the ticket things. She was, I mean, all the advertising for tickets for the tournament. She was the tournament. And she was eliminated early, a little earlier than people probably liked. But you would think, like, she should get a bigger cut than that, than Caroline Wozniacki, who made it to the finals. Because she's Serena Williams, and if you're going to use her in the marketing, and give her a little extra cut. I mean, look, Tiger Woods has made a fortune, right? But it almost feels like Tiger Woods didn't make enough money for what he did for the PGA Tour, right? Like, Woods is a billion-dollar athlete?
Oh, yeah, easily.
But still, what he did to the impact of golf and the PGA Tour, it's like he was underpaid.
I mean, it's probably that argument where, you know, Jordan and LeBron James have done tremendous things for the NBA.
Right.
But the NBA would still exist.
Sure, exactly.
Golf, I mean, golf would still exist, but I don't think it would be as popular as it is if it wasn't for Tiger Woods.
I mean, how do you go from paying a guy $200,000 a year for winning a golf tournament 30 years ago to $2 million.
Right.
Like that, even under regular rates of inflation, that doesn't seem to work. Right. Why it works is Tiger Woods. Right. I'll tell you a quick story. My father and his company, when I was younger, they'd go to the Masters every year from the early 80s all the way up until the 2000s. But in the late 90s, they couldn't get tickets. They could barely get tickets because of Tiger Woods. Once he won the Masters, once he became a presence, it became harder. It wasn't difficult to go to the Masters. People don't know this, but you could go to Augusta National on practice rounds and buy a ticket at the gate. At the gate that day, you could just buy in 1985. You could go spend $20 and get a ticket to a practice round at Augusta National. You could find houses for rent, and it came with four tickets. The Masters was not this gigantic sporting event. It was a major, and it was a big deal to people who golfed. Of course it was. But it didn't, you know, it would say, come on in. Yeah, here you go, $25. You know, come on in and watch. And then Tiger Woods emerged, and you can't get a ticket. It's the hottest ticket property on the planet right now. I mean, outside of Super Bowl tickets. You have to go into a lottery that I lose all the time that I think doesn't even exist. Like, every year I apply for Masters tickets, every year I get told no. I don't know one person who has ever went on social media and said, oh my God, I just have been selected for Masters tickets. And I have a lot of friends who do this every year for the last 10, 12 years. Every year I get my annual email from Augusta National saying I was not selected. I could write it for them because of Tiger Woods. Right? That's just the way that is. And it lends itself to Jordan Spieth hysteria, Ricky Fowler hysteria, right? I mean, when these guys had a moment in the sun, when these guys rose up in popularity, it was because Woods sort of paved the way. Golf wasn't, you know, golf became very cool. It wasn't one of those sports. Like, you know, his prom date from high school had a really good quote in that documentary where she said that she didn't even know her school had a golf team that he was on when they were dating. Like, that's how out of the loop she was in terms of that sport. I was at a golf course the other day. And I was just practicing, but a local high school came to practice. They were all in matching shirts, matching bags, and everything. I mean, they look sharp, right? It's not a sport that's like, oh, the geek kids play golf. Tiger Woods made it cool, and now these guys are sharing in the money.
I guess maybe, you know, the reason why they're not, because they get the extra sponsors. Maybe that's, I don't know. I mean, I know they are in golf, but I'm saying for, like, Serena Williams.
Oh, no, I don't think they do it because I don't think anybody did this idea until just now. I don't think anybody thought that they needed to do this, and then the PGA Tour is doing it, and now I'm wondering if tennis players are going to be like, well, okay, how about we put something together for us? I think the business plan was just accepted. You know, you just do your thing, and you play on these tournaments. But now the PGA Tour is saying, wait, we're gonna do a move-the-needle bonus. And I guarantee you other sports are going to go, yeah, well, you better do a move-the-needle tournament bonus for us. If Phil Mickelson and Jordan Spieth are getting a check for their sports, I should be getting one for tennis, or I should be getting one for NASCAR, or I should be getting one for some other individual sport that I'm excellent at.
Yeah, all right, I think it definitely works in the individual. I don't know about team yet.
Yeah, it doesn't know. I think people would lose their mind if you gave a...
I would love to see them try, though.
I would love to see them try, exactly. Imagine Major League Baseball, they just gave, like, Mike Trout an extra check.
Yes.
Like, here you go.
Sorry you didn't make all those playoffs.
Yeah. Sorry you didn't make those playoffs and nobody in the East Coast watches you play, but here's money just because you're Mike Trout. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with 2N as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with 2 N's as we continue. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next hour. Also, Glenn Davis is going to join us, Soccer Matters host and voice of the Houston Dynamo on ESPN 97.5 in Houston on the Super League soccer story. I find this story fascinating. I really do.
It is.
It's just the way it was so...
I think it's because it came out of nowhere and imploded within 48 hours.
Right. That's probably what it is. By the way, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loan options for your family. Rocket can. That's what I think it is. I think it is the idea that this came about and got obliterated by the fan base. And the fan base stood up for themselves and said, no, you're not doing this. And it just kind of collapsed on its own, right? And again, you brought up the international play. Did that have a factor in some of these?
I think it did. I think it did because it finally, what was it? I'm getting my days confused when I only have two of them. I think it was Monday. Monday afternoon, FIFA and UEFA, the European governing body of soccer, both said that players who play in the Super League will not be allowed to play in international competition.
It's wild.
That was another thing. That's when you first had players going, hey, wait. We never signed up for this. Manchester United, because it's a team that I follow, a lot of their players came forward and were like, we weren't told about this. This wasn't our decision. This was the billionaires running the clubs who said, hey, I know a way we all can make more money.
Yeah.
And the players weren't involved in the decision process.
And Nancy Armour at USA Today says, Stan Kroenke, John Henry, and the Glazer family. These are right here in the United States.
And it's costing jobs, too. Yeah. President of Man United is saying he's resigning at the end of the year.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb coming up an hour or two as we continue. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.